Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Awesome.
Well.
Awake.
All right. Well, fair enough. We've covered all of the gamut. We've covered the entire spectrum. How's that? Mm-hmm. We're all here, present, and accounted for.
Yes, sir.
In various
states of being.
States of being and alertness. How's that?
Yes.
Well, gentlemen, we're kind of, as we have been for the past several weeks, doing a study here at Neighbors of Hope on character and why our character matters. All right, and we've been learning what that character is supposed to look like, why so, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're coming to the conclusion of that study. As of late, it's been focusing on some of the writings of Paul. And so today I'd like to accentuate that by looking at Paul's writing to the people of Galatia in chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. All right. It's popular to perhaps a lot of our listening audience as far as the contrast between flesh and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. So if I could have someone read that for us, I'd certainly appreciate it.
Sure. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, first thoughts. What jumps out at you?
I like around verse 19 to 21. Says it is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Thinking me. The imperative love is cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzy and joyless grabs for happiness. You know, it's repetitive, and it's a little cycle that never stops. I mean, this wasn't one of my addictions, just buying stuff just to make me happy. But at the same time, I wore stuff, to make me feel good, make rings and all that, And it just doesn't work out all the time. You gotta find what true happiness is and true joy.
So let's thank you. Let's try and put this in some sort of context here. Do you think Paul is saying, because he does say about drunkenness, carousing, I don't know what you translated that, you think of partying, you're carousing. All right, yeah. Now, we're well versed in these, in the past, haven't we had some drunkenness? Sure. Haven't we engaged in some wild parties?
Oh, a little bit.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen in the listening audience, minimally everybody shaking their heads in the affirmative, okay? So do you think Paul is just saying, now because you're at Neighbors of Hope and you've given up your life of addiction, you're actually living by the Spirit? Do you think Paul is saying, just because you're not getting drunk, that means you're living by the Spirit?
No.
Then what is he saying? Just because you're not engaged in the Greek here, porneia, right, which King James would translate something like fornication. You need to think harlotry, whoredom. Just because you're no longer engaged in your addictive activity, therefore maybe having the drug prostitute around, Just because you're not engaged in prostitution, you're living by the Spirit? Just because you're not getting mad or you're not hating people, you think you're living by the Spirit? Do not read these as some sort of list that you do and don't do. Alright? Yeah. That's not what Paul is doing here. So what do you think Paul is doing here?
For me, it's all something that jumps out right here. It's a constant battle of conflicts right between us that prevents you from doing good. What do you want to do, like this flesh against the flesh, or flesh against the Spirit? So to me, it's not like a diss to do, it's just he's letting you know that that's the battle within. Okay, just because you stop drinking, you stop messing with the process, you stop living that life, having these parties, now the real work begins. Here's the battle now. You thought that was the battle? Now the battle is every day making that decision that you're going to be walking by the Spirit. You know, I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. Every single day I have to make that decision. You know, to choose life, to choose this. You know, it's easier over time, but there's still a battle. You know, you still have to. Daily there's, you know,
I think you're on the right track.
This is what jumped out at me right here when he talks about the battle between.
Go ahead.
I would say that he says to walk by the Spirit also, but then he also gives a definition of what the fruit of the Spirit is. And it's attributes of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. As we put away things, we also act and live a certain way, doing certain things. And as we do those things, even because the comment at the end, to not challenge each other, be boastful in those doing those things that follow the Spirit. So to live Spirit, but also to walk Spirit lives, to continue to do good in the advancement of the kingdom.
So this isn't like, I'm sorry, this isn't like a checklist, but if you're really truly walking by the Spirit, you should be bearing these fruits.
Yeah.
And if you're not, that's, you take it back to the Word, you take it back to prayer, you got to see, why am I not bearing this, you know, whatever.
Well, he throws it out there. One word that I think a lot of people skip over because either they don't know what it means or whatever it is. And like, not in a list order, but he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. It's to withhold, hold back. So stop doing what you're doing. Hold back what you want to do. Hold back those thoughts.
What you really want to say.
Forbear.
It's not right yet.
Okay. Go ahead.
I like this because I got a certain decent amount out of it, what I believe it interpreted, and so I wrote it down because I usually word things better when I write it down.
Please
so
share.
I wrote, surround yourself around sinful talks and actions will make you more enticed into doing sinful nature. Yet if you surround yourself with the Spirit and talk about the fruit of the Spirit, like the love, joy, peace, patience, and all that, you will be more enticed into doing acts of the Spirit that are positive. Like, if you just sit around and talk about parties, drugs, and stuff, and criminal activities, you're still stuck in that mindset, and you're going to more than likely continue to act on them and do those. But if you sit around and talk stuff like the Holy Spirit or positive things, like, you look good today and everything, you know, just something, little things like that. Even
numerous times it says to abstain from people that call themselves your brothers in Christ, but are really still engaged in the debauchery and the idolatry and all that stuff. They'll sit around the table and dine with you, but...
Okay.
I wanted to say, it also says that if you walk in the Spirit, you won't even carry out the desire of the flesh. And if you walk in the Spirit, you're not even under the law. So if you're living a Spirit-filled life, you're doing what the Spirit requires. So you're gonna, it's going to fulfill itself through the Spirit.
Okay.
Got a Spirit, got his truth.
Then if you're living in the Spirit, the same spectrum, you're living under the flesh, then you're constricted by the law. You're not free from the law and that oppression.
Okay, all right, yeah. We're all dancing on this pretty well. Okay. Remember, these are not things you do. All right? Living by the Spirit does not mean the kindness that you show is actually the kindness of Chris. It's not the joy of Chris. It says these are the fruit of the Spirit. Matt alluded, this is in the context, large context, but Paul's talking to these folks, these Galatians, about the law. Now, the law that he's referring to is the Mosaic law. Prior to this little pericope, he'll say things, love God, love neighbor. I mean, that's kind of what Jesus taught. Jesus says, look at a tree in Matthew. Jesus says, look at a tree is known by its fruit. You're just the tree. All right? But what fruit are you bearing? Right? And what's the source of vitality, the life force within a tree that actually bears the fruit? You think you just go out here to some tree and just say, hey, you know, give me an orange?
The branches?
Yeah.
It's what it is. It's what's within it.
Okay, so we're back to where our character matters. I mean, our character matters because it ought to be reflecting the fruits of the Spirit. But that's not something we do. No more so than like the law. Right, the Mosaic Law. Let's sit there going, well, look at, if you're really living by the Spirit, I mean, the law wasn't there saying, okay, don't murder and that'll make you a good person. That's kind of why I started this going, do you think just because you're not hating, you're actually living by the Spirit? You think just because you're not murdering or committing adultery or stealing that somehow or another you're living by the Spirit? Because we saw earlier when we were studying Jesus with the Pharisees, he says to them, right, in the Sermon on the Mount, you don't murder, but you sure do hate. You don't commit adultery, but you sure do lust.
Harsh the wicked.
All right? So you can be compliant with the law and still be engaged in a heart of the flesh. All right? So the law, that's where Paul says, look, the law itself doesn't necessarily, just by being obedient to the law, doesn't mean you get the good heart habits of the Spirit. In that context, Paul's encouraging everybody to live by the Spirit. Because not to. Remember, the project was there's going to come this time where God's vision for God's creation, right? You can think of it as the heavens, right? You can think of the New Jerusalem, whatever language you want to use, but sometime that project and earth are going to come together. So if we're living by the flesh, and this isn't just strictly to speak on carnality, and Paul is definitely not a dualist, right? But living by that energy source that really endorses death. That really, and by death I mean, endorses the prolongation of that marriage of heaven and earth. We're delaying. Right? If it's selfish ambition, right? If it's the fornication, if it's the hatred, if it's any of those things, right? We're delaying that marriage of heaven and earth, right? The vision. So the kingdom that Jesus established, that he launched, that has not been fully accomplished, hasn't been brought to fruition, in a sense, birthed what that looks like. And the fruit of what that looks like is the fruit of the Spirit. So to allow that reality to permeate your being and to bear that kind of fruit is to do what? Is to really participate today in the marriage of the heaven and earth come together, which comes in a culmination in the future. Does that make sense?
Right. Which makes us...
So you're this is Paul's way of really reiterating Deuteronomy 30. Life, death, blessings, curses, make it in. Yeah.
Life or death, choose life.
So anytime we are participating in what Paul's calling the flesh here, right, that selfish desire stuff,
death.
We're participating in a culture of death. And we, you don't have to look too far in our 21st century, 2017, right, culture, and see death permeating. Meaning that it's not in alignment, right, with God's intent for God's creation. And just because the majority may be ruling that way doesn't necessarily mean it's the right way. As opposed to if we develop the habits of heart, the heart habits, right, that is a virtuous Christian life. Right? The Spirit in us, which empowers all that, bears the fruit that gives evidence. It gives witness to the reality that is yet to come.
The Spirit that transforms our hearts from stone to flesh.
Yeah, and this is part of what we talked earlier about the transformation and renewal of our minds. Closing thoughts, comments, questions, gentlemen. Okay, well, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.